On this week's show,
we marvel about Marvel.
Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
That's Marvel.
Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings.
That's also Marvel.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
That's Marvel.
Woman.
That's not Marvel. It's gonna be shit then.
Stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geezers, geeks, Comic-Con adventurers, etc., etc. It's this week's Monkey Nut Punch podcast. And this week, I've got the window open so you can hear the sounds of jets flying overhead. Nigel's got his fan on so you can hear the sound of in the background because we're in the middle of a fucking heatwave at the moment. And it hasn't
even
peaked.
Well, it is for Britain.
Yeah, it is for Britain. And we're a country that doesn't believe in air conditioning. People in America can laugh the fucking asses off at us Brits fucking melting in our houses.
Yeah, we're having our 5 days of summer.
We better enjoy it because it will be gone soon. It's really hot here at the moment. So
we're having our 5 days of summer and I fly off in 2 days.
So, yes.
I'm going to miss half of it.
Yes. Anyway, it was San Diego Comic-Con recently and there's some news and bits to go through. So, we're not going to go to it in too much depth because our rather large and over-opinionated friend Keith isn't here to argue all the bloody points with me. But we've got Nige here, who's not a massive comic book fan, so I'll have to explain some bits to him here and there as we go through. So, we're going to talk about some of the Marvel stuff that was announced. Oh, by the way, Nigel's here with us. Say hello, Nigel. I forgot to introduce you.
Hi.
Hello. So, we're in a rush at the moment because we've got bloody hard stops. So, right, okay. So Marvel had a thing and they showed off all their new films and bits coming up. So the first thing to note, no Captain Marvel 2.
Woohoo!
Yes. Do you know what? When I saw the listings of all the films, it didn't even twig that Captain Marvel wasn't in there. Even twig because. Well, I'd forgotten the film existed, to be fair.
Yes. Not good. So, the first one on the docket is Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Now, I can't remember the bloody director's name, but it's going to have the previous same director as it did for the previous version of Doctor Strange. And he says that he wants to make it a more scary film. And then Benedict Cumberbatch says something stupid and cryptic where he turns around and goes, there may be something in this film that changes the way Doctor Strange is, or maybe not changes the way he is. And I'm like, bollocks. It also apparently can... I know. It's just
cryptic. It might change things. It or might not at all.
Because it might be blue. Or it might be red. We don't know. So the Multiverse of Madness. It seems like a play on the John Carpenter... I think it's John Carpenter film, which was very H.P. Lovecraft, which was called In the Mouth of Madness, which is a story about Sam Neill tracking down an author in a place called Hobbs End. And I don't know if it's going to have a similar kind of vibe to that. But apparently it's supposed to tie into the WandaVision story. So Scarlet Witch is going to be in it, which is good because her powers in the comic books are kind of magical. She has what's known as chaos magic. It's red. That's why she's like connected to the ether and whatnot from the Infinity Wars.
I like Scarlet Witch. I do. I think she like Scarlet was awesome Witch and against Thanos. Really, really fucking laid it into him.
Yes, she did. I don't know how they're going to do scary at PG-13.
Maybe it won't be.
They've got to keep it PG.
Well, they've got to keep it a 12 at least.
They could certain scary things they can do, but I don't see how they're going to pull it off without it being that. But then again, they have bought Fox, And if they want, they can put the Marvel films under the Fox thing to keep it away from Disney, so they can do a scary Doctor Strange, but keep it away from the whole kind of Disney thing. But I don't know. It seems an odd one. What do you feel? Did you watch Doctor Strange?
The first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it.
You loved it. Oh, good.
I loved it. The kids loved it. Yeah, thought it was great. And I like the way he was in Endgame as well, and the one previous as well. Yeah, no, I like the character. I think it's good. It was a bit odd to start with. It was very what's the name? Inception, like.
Yes, with the buildings folding and all the shit. But yeah. Saying that kind of weird, the kind of looking through a kaleidoscope thing was always a Doctor Strange thing, and it was like a kaleidoscope in the comic books.
Oh, right, yeah.
So it kind of fitted with the whole Inception thing, because it wasn't quite Inception. It wasn't like they were folding streets over and stuff to... Well, actually, they were. That's a lie. That's a complete fucking fabrication there, Gareth.
No, they did. They definitely did.
But it was... It looked like a kaleidoscope thing. Anyway, the next one is Shang-Chi and the Legends of the Ten Rings. Now
this I don't know anything about this, but for some reason I feel excited for it.
Okay, it's going to be a martial arts one.
That's probably why I feel excited for
it. I'm sure it's going to be a South Korean superhero. The bad guy, it's going to be the Mandarin, who originally was Iron Man's bad guy, and it's not Tony, all right? Because they had a Marvel one shot where they had him in prison and he gets caught by the Mandarin. So I'm hoping that even if he's not the Mandarin in the film, that we have Ben Kingsley in it, playing Tony Slattery. I think it is, not Tony Slattery. Oh, Kevin Slattery, whatever his name, the guy from Croydon.
The Slats.
That would be good. It's funny because the guy who plays him, I didn't put his name in it because I couldn't fucking pronounce it. The guy who's going to play Shang-Chi was cast literally on Tuesday, and then had to then turn up to Comic-Con that week and then come out on stage. So yeah, I have no fucking idea what's going on, but yeah, I haven't even had the first draft of the script, but I'm excited and I should really be fucking happy.
I'm in here with everything.
Could you imagine that first day on the job? Oh, yeah, by the way, you've got to come out and announce this in front of the whole fucking world. And you're like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll do it. So, yeah, he's done it. He's good because he's training fighting and he can act. Is what something you want.
I'm trying to find who he is while you're discussing him.
So yeah, they've changed the character around quite a bit, apparently, so to fit in the Mandarin. Because the Ten Rings is the Ten Rings of the Mandarin. Now, in the comic book, the Mandarin was the adjutant or whatever you call it of a Chinese emperor. And he finds a crashed alien spaceship, and he took all the bits of technology and put them into his rings, so he can do he can pick things up with kind of gravitational forces and blast you with ice and fire, etc. So he's got all of that. It's directed by a guy called Tony Leung. And I've forgotten what Tony Leung's done. apparently. So that's going to be cool. So, Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings of the Mandarin.
He's a Canadian actor called Simu Liu.
Ah.
Simu Liu, I think that's how you'd say it.
That's why I didn't put him down, because I'd just butcher it.
It's not someone I know.
No.
I'm excited for it.
It sounds like a not shit version of Iron Fist.
Yes.
I think that's the best way of describing it. Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings of the Mandarin. And the Legend of the Ten Rings is going to be a not shit version of
Iron Fist. Yeah.
Iron Fist. That's the best way of describing it, I think. And then we move on to one of the TV shows, which is Falcon and the Winter Soldier. This is going to be one of the Disney Plus things. Apparently both characters are going to share the shield, so they'll be sharing Captain America duty. So it's going to focus on Sam Wilson trying to be Captain America and what makes Bucky tick as a character, given the fact that he spent most of his life wandering around as an assassin zombie kind of person. it'll be interesting. The bad guy is Baron Zemo from Captain America and Civil War. Apparently he's got the outfit, so he's going to be wearing this weird purple get-up. So do you remember Baron Zemo from Civil War?
No.
He's the guy who Black Panther went to stopped him from shooting himself at the end. He had the telephone message that he kept on loop to listen to. Murder the Hydra agents. The guy who kicked off them fighting against each other.
I don't remember. All I've got is Helmut Zemo as the bad guy. That's wrong,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, it's Helmut Zemo. It's his name in the comic books. His name's Baron Zemo, but his name's Helmut Zemo. So yeah. So it's gonna be a Disney Plus thing. So that's gonna be interesting for when that comes out.
Are they using the actors from the films?
Yes, they're using actors from the films.
Okay, I like that. I like it when they do that. Unlike The Flash.
That pissed me off because Grant Gustin and the guy who plays Oliver Queen, I can't remember his fucking name now, would have been great in those DC films.
Hmm?
But hey.
Absolutely.
The next TV show is WandaVision. It's set around the Wanda Maximo Scarlet Witch character. Apparently they got Vision back. Don't know how they got Vision back. Don't ask me. I don't know. It's just the news. It's just Vision's back, and it's got Monica Rambeau. So the stony-faced person who played Monica Rambeau in... well, she's stony-faced in real life, but not while she's acting. From Captain Marvel's going to be in it. Or is it... No, hang on a second. No, it's not going to be her. It's going to be a grown-up daughter. Sorry. So I've no idea what's going to go on there with that one. I'm not very excited for that one. It just sounds confusing.
So Monica Rambeau is who is she?
In Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel had a daughter. That daughter is going to be Monica Rambeau, who's going to be the character in this. So the grown-up character from Captain Marvel.
Is it her friend's daughter?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, I've just seen a picture of her. I recognise her. Yeah, cool.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm hoping, if they do it right, yeah, because I'm just looking at this TV series, and it's like... Falcon and the Winter Soldier sounds like a buddy cop sort of TV show.
Yeah, buddy.
WandaVision, I'm hoping, would be like a more kind of supernatural kind of one, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Something a bit. I don't know if it will be. And then we've got Loki, which would be high-end fantasy, which is the other one. This is the one I had the least amount of information on. It's not the Loki from Infinity War and Infinity War Ragnarok. It's the one that escaped at the end of Avengers in Endgame. Yeah. So when they went back to do the events of the original Avengers Assemble, and he gets hold of the Tesseract, he escapes. So he's still got a touch of bastard about him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not been redeemed yet.
So
that'll be interesting because it'll be seeing it from a villain's perspective. So I like the idea of him just being drunk going through time fucking things up unintentionally.
That'll be interesting to see what they do with that one.
That would be interesting to see. At the moment, Disney Plus just looks like a string of fucking Marvel TV shows.
Well, yeah. Yeah, so, why not?
Yeah, the next TV show is The What If. It's going to be an animated show. It's going to be looks like it's going to be the kind of 3D style that you got from Love, Death and Robots. If I've understood that correctly, I may have got the fucking wrong end of the stick there. It's going to feature the voices of the original actors, so people like Hawkeye, Haley Atwell's character from Captain America, Chris Evans, that sort of thing. So if they're in the show, and the idea is to say what happens if the Avengers lost the Battle of New York, what happens if they lost against Ultron, and then it's kind of set from the Watcher's perspective. She's being played by the guy from what's that TV show, Westworld, the guy who turns out to be a fucking android not knowing it. I know his name's Jeffrey something.
Oh,
black fella, balding beard.
Yes. Yeah, I know who you mean. I can't remember his name though.
No, what I can't Jeffrey? Remember. Jeffrey song. It's got to be Jeff. He looks like a Jeff.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've got
Bernard.
Bernard was the character, not the actor. The actor's yes. Jeff. The
oh,
actor's
is it?
Jeff. The character's Bernard. Yeah.
character's name.
I know what you're talking about. Then we've got the Hawkeye TV series. It's going to star Jeremy Rayner, apparently.
From the film.
Unless they change it, which, you know, might happen. You've got that. It's going to feature Kate Bishop, who's like Junior Hawkeye, and she's not been cast yet.
Is that the daughter he was training in the film?
I don't know if it's... No, I don't think
doing
it is
the snapping.
No, I don't think it is. I think it... given what I've been told, it sounds like it is... The whole series is set between the snap and Endgame. So he has a snap. That. You see him go off the rails. You see him turn into a badass vigilante going around killing people. And then maybe this Kate Bishop character kind of tries to bring him down to earth. And then he runs off one final time, only to be confronted by the others. I can't remember.
In Endgame, when Hawkeye was running around being, you know, badass, he reminded me of
Arrow from season one.
No, in the Tick, the bloke who's got the gunboat, Deadeye. No, not Deadeye.
I know what you're talking about.
Deadshot. Yeah, you know the guy.
Oh, fuck.
You know the guy. He reminded me of him with his get-up and what he looked like.
Okay. My notes for the Eternals have not appeared, only the picture. I think I pasted it over the notes. Okay, they've cast a load of people for the Eternals, and... they cast a load of people for the Eternals. They cast Selma Hayek, Angelina Jolie, who else? A load of other people. Now the story is with the Eternals is that the fucking great big hulking creatures who commanded the Infinity Stones in Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one. What did they call them? Celestials, that's it, the Celestials. Now the idea is that Celestials turned up certain planets, and started fucking around with DNA and whatnot. So they got humans and they started playing around with them to see if they could give them like mutant powers like the X-Men got. And some of them worked and they created like these cool purebred humans, which they refer to as the Eternals, And some of them worked where they made them look like disgusting mutants and stuff, And they were called Deviants. Now the Eternals were the cool ones and the Deviants were the bad ones, and they were supposed to be born on Titan, and the biggest Deviant is Thanos. That was that. The casting looks a bit too diverse, considering if you look at the images from the comic, there's like one white guy in there, and it looks like I that's like political casting, which we can go into later with Keith and whatnot. It's because I haven't put my notes on there where I've had all the factual shit. And then we've got the Black Widow movie, and the Black Widow movie, Keith, is set around the events in Budapest. Yes,
they keep mentioning Budapest, don't they? Every time they mention Budapest but never go into it. Do you remember the film Johnny English, where somebody mentions Marrakesh and Johnny English gets this fucking nervous twitch on, like going, oh, fuck, can't remember Marrakesh. It's something like that for me, because I have no idea.
We're gonna get to see what happens. Now, the actress called Florence Pugh is going to play a character called Yolanda. Who's a character like Black Widow, so they can use her to replace Black Widow in the MCU. Unfortunately, she's a second stringer, so she's not as cool as Black Widow. David Harbour from Stranger Things apparently is going to be in it. And the best bit, is they've picked a bad guy who's not one of my favourites, but he helps me make the Marvel Universe make sense. He's a guy called Taskmaster. Now, if you've played Spider-Man, you've probably come across Taskmaster.
I've started to, yes.
Yeah, he's the one who sets the tasks. Now, the Taskmaster has photographic adaptive powers, and what it is if he sees you do something, he can recreate that perfectly. Yeah? So the story is, the first time he realizes he has these powers is when he watches a diver at the Olympics dive off the high board and land in the pool. So as a kid, went to the local swimming pool, climbs to the diving board, repeats it perfectly, lands in the water, fucker doesn't know how to swim. But Taskmaster's big thing is that he trains up soldiers for the bad guys to have their armies with. So, you know, where do they get all their fucking... the goons from, yeah?
Yeah.
It's they go to Taskmaster, and Taskmaster provides them with people, and he provides the people that they've got with training and weapons. That's his job. And he's not really a bad guy. He's a mercenary. Yeah? So, say that there's an organisation in the comic book called AIM. And AIM have got their soldiers and stuff, yeah? So AIM turns around and goes, look, we've got the weaponry and stuff, yeah? But our guys can't fight. So they give the guys to Taskmaster. He teaches them how to fight. He hands them back. They pay him.
Yeah, okay.
Because it makes so much sense, because it's like, where do you get all these fucking people from? And the question is, just go to Taskmaster and go, look, we need 100 soldiers. And he turns around and goes, give us to the end of the week. End of the week. He's gone all around the world, picked up as many people as he can that are already trained and gone, there you go. And it makes perfect sense when you do that like that. And go, oh, there, that's the bit. That's the one thing I like about him. He helps me make the Marvel Universe make sense.
Yeah, because otherwise, where the fuck do you get all these people?
Yeah, it is. Fuck? But yeah. Because think about like what winds you up with, say, Walking Dead, yeah? And you've got Negan, and he's got this fucking endless supply of soldiers. Now, if he was in the MCU, he'd be paying fucking Taskmaster to provide him with soldiers. Yeah. And that's how it works.
That's why he needs all the supplies from every other camp, so he can pay Taskmaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taskmaster's one kind of Achilles heel is fighting Deadpool. Because he's so fucking random, he can't cope with the randomness. Seriously, that's the joke when he fights Taskmaster. He can't do it because
Taskmaster's learned regimented things.
Yes,
and he's got a set sequence, whereas Deadpool is just off the cuff.
Yes,
he's winging it, mate.
Yes, he's completely fucking random, and that's why I like the character. He's not the greatest character in thingy, but he helps me make everything make sense. And then we've got Thor, Love and Thunder. It looks like it's based around the Mighty Thor. And we talked about this in the podcast a couple of years back, where Thor became a woman.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
I don't.
You don't remember that? God, we went on for ages, because it was like... Thor's his name is the first problem. Yeah, but Thor's also apparently also a title too, because a character called Beta Ray Bill held it, and another human held it. He held it during during Infinity War, actually, because he couldn't be separated for the hammer for more than like 30 seconds, and he got into a fight with Thanos, and the hammer got separated from him, and he was in like dead of space, and if he didn't get it back, he'd suffocate and die. This is the stuff you learn as you go along. But that Almighty Thor comic book was massively fucking unpopular. And you've got Jane Foster, who becomes Thor, because it was always a mystery who's became Thor, and it's Jane Foster, and apparently Jane Foster comes down with cancer, and she thinks she's using the hammer to extend her life, but actually it's making the whole fucking thing worse, because where Thor can use in the comic books could use magic or technology or whatever, because she's using the hammer, it kind of stops that shit from working, and then eventually she dies and he gets his hammer back. So, yeah, it's not looking good. There's a picture I attached to a notes, and I think it's symbolic. And it's... I can't remember the actress's name now. She's in Star Wars. Was it name? Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman.
Lovely looking lady. Wouldn't say no. But she's having trouble holding the fucking hammer up.
Bless.
It's like she's got noodle arms. She's going to have to fucking work on that. That is a little worrying.
I bet Gal Gadot wouldn't have trouble.
No, she wouldn't have trouble getting it up. She'd love it. Getting her hands on Thor's mighty hammer. she looks like she's on that thingy, because Taika Waititi, who's coming back from Thor Ragnarok to direct it, which is good. Downside is that it looks like they're investing in a shit story, which is bad. Not good. Tessa Thompson is a lesbian in it. Because apparently where you stick your genitals is more important than storyline. And I'm really, that part of the story is making me just cringe, because it's like, can you just tell us the superhero story part of it? It's like, I know this is the one thing we went to the Star Trek Beyond. Yeah, Keith Tamer said they handled Sulu being gay in it quite well, because he was just gay, and it was, he only really noticed that he was gay when he hugged his husband at the end. And it was like, you know what? I kind of prefer that, because it's just, you know, oh, I don't know. This shit really grates on me.
I think then, the
yeah, go on.
Valkyrie. She's playing Valkyrie.
Yes.
I think as long as they don't rub it in your faces, if pardon the expression.
I think they will, because they want the social brownie points.
Yeah.
It's just not good. Sorry, man. I just.
Well, we'll see. I'll hold judgment for later. But yeah, we'll see if they do. I don't think it doesn't matter if they show somebody who is straight or gay, as long as it needs to be pivotal to the story. If it's not, it's a byproduct, then don't really need to spend any time on it. So they shouldn't.
It's the editor's scissors, should be cutting away on that.
They can sort of hint at it, like she could wink at a bird or something. I don't know. Mm. Whatever.
We're interested in like godlike creatures having fights. How does that help that happen? I don't know.
Yeah. If it's cool. Pivotal to the story, yeah, maybe work something around it and go a little bit more detail. But if the story doesn't hinge on something she does because of her sexual orientation, then there's no real reason to even hint at it or go towards it. Unless it's because her girlfriend or whatever is pivotal to the story, if you know what I mean.
And even if it is, it still just feels like it's crowbarred in there. And they talk about representation. What about over-representation? The first, I'm sure there was some gay people in Jessica Jones and stuff.
Probably
anyway,
was. Yeah.
Next one. Probably the one that I feel most positive about. And not at the same time, because they announced Blade. Blade's coming back. It's not Wesley Snipes. Oh, fuck, I've got to pronounce this guy's name. His name's Mahershala Ali.
God, sorry, I'm butchering it.
Yeah.
Mahershala
Ali. Now,
sorry,
this guy's an Oscar winner. He's got a few decent roles under his... Is Bruce Bell?
Yeah, wasn't he in Luke Cage?
He was in Luke Cage. I put it in the notes. Luke Cage played Cornell Cottonmouth.
I love
Cottonmouth. I thought Cottonmouth was an interesting character, and he was a character who looked like he might be gay, but they never fucking pushed it. And that was kind of a way to do it, because it made him a bit more interesting.
He was a decent character actually for what he was. Like a person with no super abilities or anything like that, he really did, you know, make the series what it was, the first series anyway.
Yes, he did. It was good, and I think looking at him, he needs to bulk up. He needs to put on a bit of muscle, because he's going to get compared to Wesley Snipes, and Wesley Snipes was fucking ripped as Blade in those films. He looked like he could do some serious fucking damage, and that added to the character, made him a bit more dangerous. And it's just a quick one, yeah? He wanted to make Black Panther, not Blade. When Blade first came, Wesley Snipes.
Really?
He was petitioning to get Black Panther made, and they went, no. And then David Goyer and that came along and went, we'll do Blade instead. And he went, all right, I'll do Blade. And did the vampire thing with Blade, and it worked out.
I did like Blade.
Blade's where that superhero film started, because it almost kicked off with Batman, Tim Burton Batman. Yeah. And then Batman Returns kind of went, and then Batman 3 went, oh, really all over the fucking shop, and then it just fell apart. And then it came back with Blade and X-Men, and then Spider-Man, and then others had a go, and then the MCU started to happen after that, because say that Marvel wanted to make their own films and whatnot. But you know, I think that out of all of them, I'm feeling the most positive about this guy, because he's got some chops, which is always good. He's the most qualified person for the job, which doesn't seem to happen in Hollywood that fucking often, because it's always give it to your mates or give it to someone who fills a fucking quota. Yeah. And I kind of like that idea. Now, this is the other. We'll go back to some more Comic-Con bits, but you sent me a text. No, sorry, you sent a WhatsApp to our little group earlier in regards to Endgame.
Yes.
Go on then.
Okay.
Don't just say yes. I queued you up, you bastard.
Yes. Yes, I did send a text.
Flapping.
Yes. Did you enjoy the text?
Anyway.
Yeah. So the text is basically James Cameron has put together a little image of Iron Man, and Iron Man is stood in some pose, open armed pose, just like they did in Avatar when they were walking through the those trees that had those little white things that dropped down slowly, like reverse jellyfish or something.
It looked like it gave me fucking hay fever, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, they looked like massive pollen. Like huge pollen from the Tree of Life or whatever they're calling it. And he's basically taken, instead of having the blue avatar, they've put Iron Man there and saying congratulations on becoming number one. Because, of course, Endgame has now surpassed Avatar in box office earnings. And James Cameron, being the bloke he is, well done, lads. And I love the picture. I love that little picture.
It was good. Now here's a funny thing. We'll go back to Endgame, because one of the people behind Thanos and his the Infinity Gauntlet storyline is a guy called Jim Starlin, and he's not very happy about Thanos's weapon, because Thanos's weapon, if you know, notice, yeah, looks a bit like a fucking helicopter blade.
Yeah.
And the reason he doesn't like this is because in a comic, yeah, they got Thanos, and for some reason Thanos was going around robbing banks in a helicopter in New York. And have you not seen the picture of the Thanos copter? I could have sworn you've seen this. Let me just send you an image of it from the comic books, yeah.
Cuz it's googling
fucking, it is fucking ridiculous, yeah.
Looks a bit pathetic.
Yes, and Jim Starlin hated that. And the fact that the thing was a little shout back to the Thanos copter, he was like, no. No, please fucking don't.
The Thanos copter. It's even got Thanos written on it.
Yeah, just in case someone tries to pinch it, you know who you're pinching it from. So that was
Jim Starlin then?
Jim Starlin is one of the writers behind Infinity War or Gauntlet story. Star Trek trailer dropped for Star Trek Picard, and it was oh my god, it looks like a fucking parody. I this is my feeling, it looks like a fucking parody, yeah. And I'll go through this in depth with Keith, because I'm going to see if I can read you some of the shit that I wrote to Keith, because he was like, kind of, oh, sorry, I thought it was great. And I'm like, of course he did. And it's like, dude, it does look like a fucking parody, because it was like,
but parodies can be cool.
Parodies can be cool. I made a joke about everyone. Right, hang on a second. Yeah, so
Spaceballs, for example.
I asked him. So the first thing that I noticed at the end of the trailer, yeah, is you've got Data, and he looks fucking freaky. Makes me want to scream and yell, burn it with fire. It's the first thing that really stuck out, yeah. And then there was it almost seemed like beat for beat Logan. Have you seen Logan with Patrick Stewart and I can't remember his name, the guy who plays Wolverine, Hugh Jackman. Yeah, have you seen that, Logan?
No.
You need to watch. Maybe. It's one where Wolverine fucking beheads people like he should do. Awesome.
I probably haven't seen it then.
Okay, all right.
Is it his origin story?
No, it's not an origin story. No, it's his final story. It's where Logan died. It's where Wolverine dies.
I haven't seen it then. I didn't know he died. Cheers, mate.
Okay, I've ruined it for you. I've ruined it for everyone else too.
Well, I'll see if it's on the plane. and watch it.
If you're lucky. I don't think it'll be on the plane because it's quite an old one. Anyway, it looks like Logan because it's like a... Because in Logan, his daughter... Apparently, his daughter... Well, it was not really... It was his daughter because they copied somebody's DNA and created a girl clone so they could graft adamantium and do experiments and whatnot with her in Mexico. Finds him and gets him to try and protect her. So he's like on his last legs, yeah? So it looked like doing the same thing with Picard and some bird who may have been a Borg. You've got the Romulans who have got a prison where they've written 60. I think it translates to 16 years since an assimilation. So I don't know. That's 16 years since the last Star Trek film, proper Star Trek film set in canon, which looks stupid. It looks Firefly-y. Patrick Stewart looks like he's really fucking struggling in this, I'll be honest with you. He looks like I'm worried that he's not going to make it to end of fucking filming. That's what I'm looking at. That he will have to have fucking Xavier's wheelchair by the end of the fucking thing. As I said, it looks like Firefly thingy. You got the Borg cube in there. And they're doing the classic fucking plane flying overhead. Sorry. They're doing the classic where it's like kind of, do you remember the Borg? They were bad, weren't they? Yes. Because do you remember Commander Data? He was bad. Do you remember the actress? Do you remember Seven of Nine? Well, we haven't got Seven of Nine. We've just got the actress, Jeri Ryan. And I swear to God, her little eyepiece thing is on the wrong side, which is fucking me up when I look at it. Because it's like it was on the other side in Deep Space Nine. It looks better than Discovery. Doesn't look as well made as Discovery, but it looks like it's paying more attention to the Star Trek universe than Discovery. But still looks shit. It just does. It just looks absolute fucking shit. All right.
I wouldn't know.
I need to argue with Keith on this one. All right.
Yes.
But it looks ghastly. Ghastly shite.
I've just googled Data. Obviously the first hit is Data Protection Act, but let's get
Data
to
Protection. Type in Data Picard and yeah, you might see so it.
I've got a picture of Data in Star Trek and that's the guy I recognise.
Yes.
But Data Picard.
Yes, type in Data Picard.
And you will see a bit round face.
And with his
dodgy eyes.
Makes you want to set him on fire and push him down a hole.
He looks like something from The Exorcist.
It looks like one of the denizens of hell that has crawled its way back out. Now, I know that Brett Spiner, who plays Data, has aged, and it has been almost 20 years since he's played this fucking character. But you can do it. There's a bit where Jean-Luc Picard at the end goes engage, yeah, and it comes across as so shit. It's unbelievable. It's like the worst fucking acting. It's like he wants to go and wink at you, go engage. Remember engage? It was fucking awesome. Blah blah blah. It's terrible. Anyway, I will save the shouting match for when me and Keith get together for this one. And we will move on to Batwoman. Because Batwoman showed its first episode at San Diego Comic-Con. I don't know if it did it in the hall or did it in private sessions or whatever, yeah? But the actress who plays Batwoman, Ruby Rose, says that she couldn't attend because she was filming. But Barry Allen, Grant Gustin, and Oliver Queen... I've forgotten his name now. Who plays Oliver Queen? Stephen Amell. Yeah, Stephen Amell. They seem to have made it. But this is the thing, is the people who watched it, yeah, seem to just describe it as dire shite. But at the same time... Another fucking plane. At the same time, yeah... They also seem to big it up. They say that Ruby Rose in the first 15 minutes first 15 minutes of the episode, yeah, is terrible. And I mean me and you trying to act terrible. Yeah? The way it was described. As if me and you, yeah, if I was the Flash, if the Flash was fat and slow, and you were the Arrow, if he was short and angry. Oh, okay.
Technically, I've got one of those.
Yeah. That would be great as you wrote, you have failed this city. So yeah, said that she was terrible, which means that Keith's right, she can't act. She got a lot of shit for being a good-looking lesbian when she was cast as Batwoman, yeah? Which was wrong, because she should have been given shit for not being a good actress, yeah?
Yeah.
And, yes, it's... Yeah, I read a review, and the review was a mass of contradictions. She's a terrible actress, but she's a good person for doing it. She can't do this. And then it was just literally back and forth from it. And it's one of these people who doesn't want to fall outside the orthodoxy of this fucking of modern day politics, because they know that they will never get access to a fucking CW screener ever again. So they want to say that it's bad, but they can't say that it's bad because that's the end of their job, which is a terrible place to be in. And it's really fucking confusing. But she pulled out. She pulled out because of, she knows that they know that was backlash and what from it, because it just looks terrible. Just yelling, I'm a woman! In the fucking trailers, just garbage. Then, before the Comic-Con, I saw the trailer to Cats. Have you seen the trailer to Cats?
No. So, it started playing and I went, I'm out.
I'm going to have nightmares about being eaten alive by those fucking things from that trailer. Because they look like... I thought I was watching the trailer to Stephen King's It, Part 2. And it turned people into cats to fucking eat the losers, or whatever they call themselves. And it's... They need to paste, like, people's faces on, and then they try to catify them. So instead of... But they don't properly catify them, and there's, like, kind of... visual pop-ins and bits where it doesn't quite track right. Fuck me, it looks terrible. The thing is that it's a good musical and people love the musical and stuff, but this is if they should have just gone for all-out makeup, would have been fine, I think, rather than for CG effects. It's got Idris Elba in it. The thing about cats, the thing that I can only ever really remember is the line from Team America, where the guy turns around and says, I don't like actors because I was bummed by the magical Mr. Mistopheles from Cats. That's all I can remember. There's songs, and people sing the songs, and I'm sure I sung some of the songs at school as part of drama club and whatnot, which I fucking hated. I'd rather do the acting rather than the thing, rather than the singing, and that was terrible. Now, I've purposely left a topic out, because yes. I was so fucking excited, and I think I've watched the trailer about 6 times now. The Expanse is back, and it fucking looks epic. And the move to Amazon, yeah, for The Expanse is such a good thing, because they needed the budget for this series. Because this series is the first time they get to land on another planet, yeah. So they get to go to an alien world. The first time in the entire thing, they get to go to an alien world. And it's great because they sent out 2 clips. They sent out one kind of tease clip to get you all excited. And they sent you out another clip, which was Naomi Nagata walking on Illus, or New Terra, as they're referring to it in the trailers and whatnot.
I will have to Google and find out which season I got to.
You were into season 2. You hadn't done season 3 at all. You've a whole season behind. It's all on Amazon Prime, though. It's all on Amazon Prime, though. Season 3, go watch it. It's fucking brilliant.
I think so, because I think the last one was where they descended into, I don't know what it is, whatever the thing had become, and it separated the ship up into...
Yeah, no, that's... Well, so much stuff happened then. That whatever it was on the planet did its shit. And they figured out the thing with the hybrids and whatnot, and they basically, the thing that killed Eros, yeah, was designed to make a giant Stargate, yeah, which would then give you access to thousands of other habitable worlds,
right?
Yeah, because the aliens before were firing this shit off at all these worlds, and then it hit the world, and it would find organic matter and inorganic matter. It'd take it apart. It needed a certain level of organic matter, but it would take it apart, and then that would then form a gate. Yeah, so they build all these roads, and the Laconians refer to them as Romans, which is interesting because the Romans built roads and whatnot. But this is like the first time you get to go to like an alien world where people have tried settling. So when these gates opened up, there was a mad rush and people escaped. But the scene that they show the Rocinante coming through the atmosphere, landing on the planet, a thing popping out, and Naomi Nagata walking out, and she's never walked on a planet ever. She's walked on moons and whatnot, but she's never walked on a proper planet. So her biology, because she's never been exposed to that much gravity, yeah, she's going to be in a bit of trouble. Yeah, so she shows her kind of pumping herself up and injecting herself with bone densifiers and steroids and whatnot to help her cope with the gravity and that.
Yeah.
And you see her kind of walk out, and they walk towards the little town. They've got a little settlement that they've got set up on the planet. And it's done. The photography's brilliant. It looks like an alien world, and you get to see the protomolecule machines on this alien world as these like giant claw things poking up, and another fucking aircraft. And it looks fantastic. And then you've got the guy who played Owen in Torchwood, who's the head of security, who almost kills Amos in the story, and I'm worried that they might actually kill Amos off, so I'm saying this out now so they don't fucking kill him off, because in the story there's a bit where he meets this guy and they end with him. I don't know if it's him or his butch assistant the woman who shoots Amos and blows his hand off, so he loses his hand, but I think he puts her down. But it does a death fake out, and it's terrible because it got to the book and it got to the end of the chapter, and it's like kind of so-and-so, was running away from where Amos was, and then here's a gunfire, and it's like shit, and then it cuts back and he's lost his hand, where it's just been taking his fingers off and shit, and it looks terrible, and the protomolecule alien starts fucking around with the physics and everything, and it's god, really good story, and it looks like they've done it justice with the budget that the Amazon have given them. And on that note, on that very, very happy note from me, because we're going to end this on a positive note, not a fucking downer, all right? Yes. Very positive note from me. We'll talk about this again. Well, me and Keith will talk about it this weekend in more detail, and we'll probably wind up having a fucking 3.5-hour podcast. And on that really positive note, rather than the nightmare fuel that's just cats or the shit acting, which is Batwoman, do superior fucking storytelling, which will be the fucking Expanse. Oh, which is back on the 13th of December. So you got plenty of time to catch up. 13th of fucking December. That was a bit that got me. I tweeted them, like, you bastards, 13th of December. But it still looks fucking awesome. So yes, and on that note, it's goodbye from me.
That is goodbye from me.
We'll catch you in the next podcast.
Bye-bye.